Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 13? Matthew 13. What I'm going to do is read to you, or we're going to read, you know, together. We're going to see it. And I'm going to read it out loud, but a passage of Scripture that illustrates part of what we're going to cover tonight. Now, I'm not going to be breaking down all of the symbolism, so on and so forth, but it is a good passage for us to use relative to what I am going to be reading to you here in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now let's stop for a moment and think about this. How do you get into the kingdom? Well, you must be born again, correct? But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Now, we're not going to get into this. I mean, later on he talks about this parable, giving an explanation, and we're not going to get into all that. But what I want to point out is this. And again, this is to illustrate. We are in the kingdom because we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And let me just again interject here that what I'm sharing at this moment is not the full interpretation of this parable. The Lord, when I was praying about... So I'm going to read to you a word from the Lord here in just a moment. And I was praying about, okay, you know, what kind of scripture? You know, and he brought this one to my mind to illustrate, okay? So I want to make sure you understand I am not breaking this parable down the way that Jesus did here in a little few verses later on. So here we are, we're in the kingdom. And Jesus is a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now we're in the kingdom, we're in the field, all right? We're the field of the kingdom for illustration purposes. Jesus has sown good seed into his field. Now what did he say over there in Mark chapter 4? The sower sows the word. Therefore, continuing with this illustration, Jesus has sown or given to us the word. But while men slept, his enemy came. Now, who would be the enemy of Jesus? Satan. Okay? And sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He sowed tares among the wheat. Now, here's the way that the Lord was using this to illustrate. You think of yourselves, Christians, as being the wheat in the field of the kingdom. Jesus has sown good seed, the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Word has been given to us for our betterment, growth, and so on and so forth. But the enemy has come in, and he has sown tares. Now, what would the tares be? Well, wrong teaching. Both the tares and the good seed have been sown into the kingdom, the field of the kingdom. Is this making sense? We are the ones in that field, so here we are. Good seed and tares are being sown into the kingdom. Now I want you to listen to what the Lord shared with me as I was praying. He said, you can often get a good idea about where a person is walking in God based upon the preachers they exalt. Now, that seems to go without saying, but do you realize that when people... Let me say it like this. Every now and then I'll get... I want to leave this really vague. There have been times when people have communicated to me about preacher so-and-so who's on TV, and this man's doctrine, not 100% of it, but enough of it, I have from this pulpit exposed as being absolute error. And yet I'm being contacted with teaching from somebody else, and this teaching originated with this other preacher. I now know something about that individual I didn't know. When I see postings on Facebook, quote, some of so-and-so, blah, blah, and etc., end quote, and that came from another one of these preachers that has been exposed for, let me say it like this, tearing up believers, T-A-R-I-N-G, tearing up believers. I now know where that person is coming from. And there have been times where I've read this, I've seen these things, and I sit back and I think, you got to be kidding me. After everything you have heard, after all the teaching, and I don't mean just from me, I mean from others as well, and you're still doing this. Now, that doesn't mean everything that comes out of the mouth... Hey, listen, back when Jesus confronted the Pharisees, remember that? Not everything that came out of their mouths was wrong. And Jesus as much as said so. If you go back and read everything he said, he didn't say everything they say is wrong. He didn't say that. As long as they stayed true to what they had at that time, you know, the law, everything was okay. But it's when they began, you know, veering off and doing their thing, that's when Jesus confronted them over this. Well, again, he said, you can often get a good idea about where a person is walking in God based upon the preachers they exalt. Now see, this is where, you remember when Jesus said, anybody has ears to hear, let them hear. This is where we had better have ears to hear. Because when someone we know is exalting a preacher who has mixed the sweet with the bitter, we had better watch out what they say. That doesn't mean, you know, you cut them out of your life completely and scorn them and all that. But what it means is, you know, you better have your spiritual sensors turned on full force. Because it's just a matter of time. They're going to say some things that are off base. Guaranteed. And you'll understand that the further I get into what he shared. And this is an interesting analogy that he gave me. He continued and said, physically, you cannot prevent what is contained in food from being assimilated into your body if you eat the food. The base of the food may be good, such as beef, chicken, fish, etc., but everything else may be of little value and contain substances that can cause cancer. If a person is feasting on food that is full of fillers, chemicals, additives, flavor enhancers, artificial flavors and colors, MSG, etc., the nutritional value of what is ingested is greatly diminished. Often, these other substances can hinder the absorption of valuable nutrients. Now, this shouldn't come as a shock to us, but he's setting us up for something. And he says, he continued and said, when you have lousy meals at a restaurant, you generally will not return to that restaurant. Likewise, if someone talks about planning to go to that restaurant, you will most likely share about your horrible experience. The same is true in the spirit. Listening to various preachers is like dining at different restaurants. spiritually, you cannot prevent what is contained in the teaching from being assimilated into your spirit if you eat the food. The base of the teaching may be good, such as verses and passages of Scripture. But everything else may be of little value and contain substances that can cause, quote, spiritual cancer. If a person is feasting on spiritual food that is full of the fillers, chemicals, additives, flavor enhancers, artificial flavors and colors of religion, tradition, and error, the nutritional value of what is ingested is greatly diminished. These additives can hinder the absorption of valuable spiritual nutrients. When you know a preacher is often serving processed food, why would you want to listen to him? An appealing personality cannot purify a corrupt meal. Even so, Christians are afraid to warn others about meals of poor quality being served by preachers because they are afraid of being labeled as critical and judgmental. And if that isn't true, nothing else is. When I sit back, and again, what he said at the beginning, you can often get a good idea about where a person is walking in God based upon the preachers they exalt. When I sit back and I begin to read these things that I receive from people or I see that they post online, and I hear them talk about the preachers that they favor, that they enjoy, I begin to wonder, what exactly are they doing in their walk with God? What exactly do they really know what's happening? Do they understand that, you know, it's just like he said in this, the base of the meal may be very good, beef, chicken, fish. But once they get done with all this other stuff, you don't want to eat it. It's not good. In the spirit, you can take verses. Everything in Scripture is true. There, you can't get away. This is truth, absolute truth. But if I take this truth and I start mixing in all of the additives and the fillers and this artificial this, that, and the other of religion and error and misinterpretation, and then I serve it up, it might look good. But in reality, it's hurting me. It's impacting me on a spiritual level that eventually can cause me to be so messed up that I can't recover. Now, let me explain. There are people who... I was raised in a church that did not believe in divine healing. We did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, and so forth. That's how I was raised. Well, I think you can tell I'm not like that anymore. A lot has changed. One of the reasons a lot has changed is because I got a taste of, how many of you know what organic food is? You know, it's like food is prepared with no additives, blah, blah, and so on. Okay. Well, I got a taste of organic Scripture. And when I did, I realized, oh, this is pretty good. And so I began to eat more and more and more of that. And the more I did, the stuff that had begun to build up in my system, it got purged out. Especially when I started praying in tongues. It got purged out. Sometimes the purging is more difficult than others. It just depends on, you know, where it's all clogged up. But it began to be purged out. However, there are some folks raised in the same system. It has clogged them up so horribly that when they do get a taste of organic teaching, they spew it out. They refuse it. They reject it. And it contains the nutrients they need. You know, like when little kids, you know, well, what do you want for dinner? Cookies and ice cream. No. You know, we might get a cookie and some ice cream afterward, but, you know, we're going to have some, you know, some pot roast and, you know, some peas and some carrots and some mashed potatoes. And the kids, what do? I don't want that. I don't like peas. I don't like carrots. And what do? You tell the kids, but they're good for you. You need them. They've got vitamins and all. I don't want vitamins. I don't want. And they just fuss. And finally, you know, you put them in a headlock and grab their throat. Their mouth opens. You shove some peas and some corn down. You don't really do that. But what I'm getting at is, you know, you try to get the kids to eat this. Now, when I was younger, there were certain things I didn't like. But now I eat things that I didn't like when I was younger. But in the realm of the Spirit, you have Christians, they didn't want peas and corn, and they didn't want, you know, the stuff that's good for them then. And they still don't. They have poisoned their system. Now, they've not rejected Jesus. They are going to heaven. But they've poisoned their system, and they are severely malnourished. And if you try to explain that to them, there is no... I mean, you might as well talk to the wall. Have you ever seen those pictures of, you know, like the starving children, all malnourished and so forth, and they got those really big bellies, the distended belly? And I can remember looking at pictures like that thinking, now wait a minute. They tell me you're starving, but look at that belly. Well, I didn't understand, you know, everything that causes a distended belly. But by the picture, you know, skinny arms and skinny legs, but big belly. Looks to me like you just ate. You know, I don't understand this. Well, I understand it better now. Well, you have a lot of Christians with distended bellies. They've eaten stuff that has caused them to be... Their digestive system is all messed up. Just terribly messed up. And you can't get them to listen to reason. When I say listen to reason, I'm talking about, but it says here in the Word of God. Well, yes, but. Yeah, here in Scripture, here's what it says. Yes, I know, but we teach it differently. Well, why would you want to do that when it says this right here? Why would you want to teach it other than what the Lord has said? That didn't make any sense. Yes, well, you know. And they've always got their answers. A lot of this is pride. In fact, really most of it is. It's like, come on, you don't want line upon line teaching? You need some purging here, okay? You need to get rid of that other stuff because, I mean, God loves you. You love God. You're going to make it to heaven. You haven't rejected Jesus Christ. You haven't walked away from Him and so on and so forth. But there's so much more available to you. You could do so much better. Well, you know, they attend a church. It's running about, you know, 8,000 people. And the whole bunch of them are malnourished. Or maybe. That's a terrible situation. And the thing is, when you begin to eat this, a poor spiritual meal, when you begin to take it in, man, it's in there. That's the problem. It's in there. There are times when I have been listening to a cassette tape, an old cassette tape, and, you know, I'm recording it on the computer because we want to recycle the tape and use it again. And so I'm listening, and things going pretty good. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, do what? What'd you just say? And so what I'll do, I use a software program, I'll mark. You know, while it's recording, I'll mark where they said that. And there are sermons, I'm not gonna tell you names now, but there are sermons where I've gone back and I have edited sections out of their sermon and left the rest of it intact so that if somebody else hears it, it'll be a good sermon. In other words, I got rid of the moldy peas, all right? Of course, peas are green anyway, so how can you tell? So, what I do, there have been times where it's like marking. It's like, okay, this ain't happening. Stop. You know, just set the tape over here. We'll just erase it and reuse it. And then I completely delete the file because I don't have enough time to edit, you know, an hour sermon down to like a minute and a half. Okay, that ain't going to work. Well, it was a good little devotion there, Brother Martin. Well, I don't want to be feasting on all that stuff because once it's in there, it's in there. Well, you might be able to handle one. But when you keep listening over and over again, you begin assimilating all of those foul, you know, chemicals. It gets in you. This is how people I've known, they were born again, spirit-filled, you know, praying in tongues, all of that, but they started listening, they started eating at the wrong restaurant. You understand? And they kept listening and kept listening and kept listening until the time come, they left their spirit-filled church and they began attending a church teaching against it. They said it wasn't real, it never was real, etc. and so forth. Hogwash. It was real. But what's happened now, man, you got a bunch of poison flowing in your spiritual system. And that thing about the spiritual cancer, well, you know, wrong doctrine can kill you. It absolutely can. Wrong doctrine can take you to an early grave here on earth. Now, there's something else here we're going to have to look at, that everything I've read to you to this point leads kind of into this. I want you to look over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now look here. We're just going to read the very first verse. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the rest of this chapter, it talks about people who are all lost. As you go through here, by faith this person and by faith that person, so on and so forth, there's nothing in this chapter teaching Christians about the faith they have. I mean, once you get past verse 1, it's not in here. All of these people in here, in this chapter, they were lost. They were not born again, which means they obviously were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something interesting to really think about. All of these people were lost. But what did they have? They had a concept and belief in God. Concept of and belief in God. And they had, some way, somehow, they ended up with a word from God. Now, you have to read the whole chapter to understand the fullness of what I just said. They didn't all receive a visitation from God. They didn't all receive a burning bush from God, so on and so forth. Now, that being true, and I'm going to say it like this to try to avoid a massive amount of angry people. Theoretically, lost people could today do the same thing these folks did. You say, well, now, hold on. Well, no, wait. All these people were lost, right? But they had a belief in God, and they had a concept of God, and they had somehow, some way, a word from God. But when we get to chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Meaning, and we're not going to go way off on a tangent on this, but meaning, the faith that we as Christians have is different from the faith the chapter 11 people had. Here's why. Those chapter 11 people were not born again. That means they did not have God's life and nature on the inside of them. Now, I've taught extensively on this in the past. But these guys in chapter 11 did not have the life and the nature of God in them. They didn't have a born-again spirit. It says here that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, how'd that happen? Well, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, something in me changed. I became born again. Along with being born again, I am now a new creature spiritually. I have God's life and nature in me. What was the biggest difference between Jesus and those people in the Old Testament? They both had the Word of God, did they not? Sure did. The biggest difference between Jesus and those the people here listed in Hebrews chapter 11, number one, he was born again. Number two, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, but he was the Son of God. Why was he the Son of God? Hold on. Why was he the Son of God? Because, yeah, he was born of God. He had God's life and nature in him. Do we not have that? We're not deity. All right? But we have that same life and nature. Jesus, the difference between Jesus and those guys in chapter 11, all those people, men and women, he had the life and nature of God in him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was it. They both had instructions from God. They both had words from God in some way, somehow. But it's because of his faith of Jesus, that came from that new nature, the life and nature of God, he was able to do all of what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, for us, this same truth exists. Lost people have the capacity to believe in God just like those people in Hebrews in chapter 11. Because when you continue to read in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to sum it up for you, you know, kind of briefly here. You can read the whole thing, you'll see it. They believed in God. They believed in God as much as you can believe in God. The problem is, it says they did not receive the promise. Why not? What promise? A promise of salvation, of being born again. The reason they couldn't receive the promise was because Jesus hadn't come to earth yet and completed his work and made it available to them. If salvation had been available to those chapter 11 people, man, those folks would have put their faith in Jesus and been born again. But there was no Redeemer. That's why righteousness was laid to their account. Now here we are, recipients of what they hoped for. We've received it. We have that life and that nature in us. And hopefully, we're also filled with the Holy Spirit like Jesus was. That separates us from those chapter 11 people and aligns us with Jesus. Now, in chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Relative to the faith in us that was authored by Jesus Christ, faith is the substance that Christians are supposed to hope for. It is the evidence of things that we as Christians do not yet see manifested in our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's think of it this way. When I get born again, I have God's life and nature on the inside of me. There it is. But in that is a capacity for the Jesus kind of faith. That takes me beyond the Hebrews 11 kind of faith. Because I was living by Hebrews 11 faith up until the moment I got born again. But when I got born again, now I have moved into the Jesus kind of faith. At least my potential is there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here I have this faith in me. And let's say that this faith It's like a balloon, all right? Now, what happens with a balloon? Well, you take a balloon, you begin to blow it up. It starts out as this, you know, little bitty thing, but when you blow it up, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, all right? Now, using that as an illustration, that faith authored in me is like that little balloon. Now, it's there, but it needs to be expanded, developed, if you will. So I expand my faith balloon by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. The more the Word of God that I am putting in me, the more my faith is coming. See what I mean? The more it's there, to try and illustrate this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, where's my hopes coming from? What is it I'm supposed to hope for? Now, what I want to do at this point is read to you the next thing the Lord shared with me. He said, "What is your hope? Hope must have a design, like an image or a blueprint. Or you don't know what you're hoping for. Moses received from God the inner image of the tabernacle. This led to the manifestation of the image. God does not inhabit the image of the hope. He inhabits the product of the hope." Remember the tabernacle? Remember what happened when they got it done? The glory cloud settled and everything. But God was there, but He's waiting for them to finish this so that His glory cloud could move on. Same thing with the temple when they built it. But, you know, Moses had this image on the inside of me, and he knew that if they... he said, you know, if I do what the Lord's told me to do, if we all work together on this, we're going to have this tabernacle, exactly what I saw, and then God's presence is going to fill it. Well, Moses received from God the inner image of the tabernacle. This led to the manifestation of the image. God does not inhabit the image of the hope. He inhabits the product of the hope. You can have a blueprint of a house, but until that house is completed, you cannot move in. Now listen to this. The unaltered Word of God will create in you the image of hope that gives your faith something it can produce. Now, I want to read that again to you because that is so critical. The unaltered Word of God will create in you the image of hope that gives your faith something it can produce. Now, remember what we were hearing earlier about if you eat the wrong food, you have, you know, spiritual malnutrition. Said a little differently. If what we're feasting on is the altered Word of God, then a hope can develop in us that faith cannot bring to pass. You see this? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So now, the more that I get into the Word of God, the Word, if I you can read the God, you can read the Word of God and not receive it. You know, I mean, you can. Now, it'll be inspiring, and it'll do as much in you as it possibly can, but you can read it and not fully receive it. The proof of that, all the people out there who don't believe in divine healing, don't believe in the gifts, don't believe in miracles. You know, I mean, you really have to passively read Scripture to come to the conclusion that these things are no longer for today. However, it doesn't take a lot of passive reading if what you have been fed is altered. Because the additives mixed in with the Word are corrupting your spiritual digestive system and clouding your vision to what you're reading when you read the Word. You know, you can eat some foods, man, they'll mess you up big time. You can eat some things. I mean, you will. Do you realize there are some things you can eat that are illegal? No, seriously. You know you're not allowed to grow Jimson weed in Ohio? You say, why is that? It's a hallucinogenic. There are other things you're not supposed to be growing. If they catch you growing them, they will tear them out of your yard and then haul you away. There are certain types of mushrooms you're not supposed to be growing because they are a hallucinogen. In other words, they alter your vision, your perception. Well, you've got a lot of Jimson weed gospel being preached. You understand what I mean? You've got a lot of bad mushroom sermons that are being delivered. Now, they use, you know, essence of Scripture and so forth, but it's altered. Now, if it's altered, it cannot produce in me the kind of hope that faith can work with and bring about results. I'm going to try to illustrate this a little bit. When we talk about healing, there are a lot of Christians that I have encountered who believe in healing. I mean, you ask them, does God still heal today? Absolutely. Can you lay hands on the sick and get healed? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Miracles, what? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You believe that God sent His Word and healed? Absolutely. They believe it. You could not get them to unbelieve that. But when it comes to the whole aspect of healing manifesting in their bodies, it's a whole different subject. And many times they'll ask the question, I wonder why God hasn't healed me. But they believe in healing. But I wonder why God hasn't healed me. And they'll say it with a very compassionate tone of voice, very sincere. In no way are they being critical of God. It's just thoughts they're sharing. Yeah, I just wonder why God hasn't healed me. I mean, I believe in healing. I truly believe. I know by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Well, praise God. Now, here's what is going on. Or let me say it like this. Here's what can be going on. When we read Scripture, and we focus in, let's say, on the stories of people being healed. And go, even for believers today, go back to the Old Testament, include those stories as well. You know, the prophet lays down on top of the person and the healing manifests. And just all the stories of people being healed. All of them. Even remember when Miriam and Aaron rose up against Moses and she got leprosy? And Moses said, you know, oh God, you know, forgive her and heal her. And so the leprosy, you know, was gone. She was healed. That was God's power healing her. So you can even read the stories in the Old Testament of healing taking place. Faith, look at this again. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, if I get into the Word of God and I begin to read these stories of healing, you know, and she said in herself, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be healed. And the man said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word and they'll be healed. Oh, Jesus, why, she's dead. Jesus says, no, she's not dead. She sleeps. Everybody get out of the house. Young girl, arise. Just over and over again. Just read these over and over, over and over, over and over and over and over and over. You know what's going to happen? On the inside, hope for your own healing begins to develop and you begin to see yourself as the individual being healed. You read this and you see it over and over and over and over and over again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you read it out loud. Read some of these stories out loud to yourself. You go over it again and again and again. Hey, I'm guilty of not doing this enough, okay? But you go over it again and again and again. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Hope is developed in us by the unaltered Word of God. So I can say, I am convinced that divine healing is for today. But if I haven't taken enough word in me to develop the image of hope, then my faith doesn't have a whole lot to work with. Are you understanding this? And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't see healing manifest in their bodies. It's not because they don't believe God doesn't heal. They believe He heals. They are convinced He heals. But they scratch their head wondering, am I that bad? I mean, what's going on here? Well, ultimately, it comes back to our faith. But the faith's got to have something to work with. Faith is the evidence of things, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I don't have the hope, what's the faith going to work with? Well, it's the same thing with provision. You know, it's 2 Corinthians 9:8, Philippians 4:19. But you can go back to the Old Testament. And you can read the stories about Moses. It's like, man, we've got a massive project on our hands. I mean, we're gonna build this tabernacle. Guys, let me clue you in a little bit, fellas, on what it's going to take to get this tabernacle up. It's got to be this big and this wide and this high, and it's got to be made out of this stuff. And, you know, the more he talks, their eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're thinking, well, where are we going to get all this stuff to do it? And Moses says, all right, look, here's what we do. Just get the word out and let people know what we're going to do. And they got the word out, and all of a sudden, man, people start bringing stuff in. And they bring it in, and they bring it in, and they bring it in. To the point, somebody went to Moses and said, Moses, you are not going to believe this. We have got more than enough to complete the task at hand. And Moses said, oh, okay, well then tell everybody to stop bringing stuff in. Now, you keep reading that, and you allow that to begin to develop in you the image hope, the hope image of it's coming into me too for what I need. Look, if God did that for them back there, you don't think He's going to do it for me? Sure He will. Now, again, you got to keep in mind, this is not about everybody becoming a millionaire, all right? We're talking about, look, how many of us want to get out of debt? You know, oh, not me, Brother Martin, I love bills. If you're in debt and you're not being foolish with credit and so forth, and you want to get out of debt, what I'm sharing with you, this works. But if we don't have the hope image of this happening for us, if we don't have the hope image of 2 Corinthians 8:9 and 9:8, if we don't have the hope image of Philippians 4:19, if we don't see that working on the inside of us, then we're missing part of the formula for seeing the manifestation of these things. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. The things hoped for have no substance. The evidence of things not seen. The only way that I can see the hoped for things is on the inside, based upon the blueprint that is created in me by the Word of God. And I see this over and over and over again. I see, you know, Jesus, you know, well, Peter, go fishing. First fish, take the money out of his mouth. And it's not about thinking, well, praise God, man. You know, I'm going to go get me a rod and reel. Buy some bait. Go down here to the creek. No, that's not it. It's capturing the image that God is going to provide for me. It's going to come in. And I thank you, Father, for figuratively speaking, the money coming out of the fish's mouth. Father, I know it has nothing to do with fish. It has everything to do with what you're going to do for me. What's going to happen in my life because you love me just like you love Peter. Just like you love Moses. Just like you love, fill in the blank, whoever's in there. I know you do it for me. And see, you begin to capture this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, it's kind of like a dual blessing. You focus on these kind of passages and read them over and over and over again and over and over and over again. You can't read them too much to overload your spirit. Now, your emotions, it's like, I got to read this again? Are you serious? You know, that's how the flesh is. But you can't overload your spirit. And the more you do it, is the more that You're seeing this, you're seeing this, seeing, and it becomes such a reality on the inside. It's like, you know, well, praise God, man. Yeah. So while the image is being fully developed by the unaltered Word of God, you know what else is happening? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the image is being developed while the faith is coming. It's a dual purpose, a dual benefit, a double barrel blessing. Hallelujah. Both of it's going on at the same time. And the manifestation comes. The manifestation comes. Now, if I don't do this, it doesn't work for me the right way. So I'm not exempt. In fact, you know, I could stand, I mean, if you were all gone and it were possible for me to preach this and sit and listen to me at the same time, I would need to be out there and hear this. Because there are no exceptions to this. Remember what Jesus said? And I don't remember the chapter and verse, but he said, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. The image of all these things happening was in him. It was all in there. And see, really, that image in Jesus could easily have been formed from just reading the Law and the Prophets. Just reading the Old Testament. Because he knew he had the Father's life in him. And he knew he did that for them back there. He's going to do it today. I know he will. I know it's going to happen. When we get into the Word, we begin to have that hope image. And then the faith has something to produce. This is why it's so critical for us to eat at the right restaurants. You see this? We don't need a bunch of fillers and additives and, you know, artificial flavors and artificial colorings of religion floating through our system, clogging things up, creating altered images. And people that don't believe in healing, that's what's happened. Their system is full of malnutrition stuff, and that's the image they have. Oh, Father, if it be thy will, please heal me. Yet when I get into the Word, I begin to see, okay, that is the will of God. That is the will of God. Now, here's the thing. The tough part in this is, I don't know if you remember a song a long time ago by, I don't know, one of the Beatles, It Don't Come Easy. Okay, here's the don't come easy part. You got to take the time to get into the Word. I have to take the time. I mean, we have to do it like this. And yeah, the word time, that's the key factor. If we don't take the time to do this, then, you know. So really, you know how you've heard the saying, well, you get out of it what you put into it. Well, that's true for this too. The more we get it in us, the more time we take to do this is, you know, the more we get out of it. And it is hard work. And the flesh will fight. And the flesh will say, you've done enough of that. You know, if God wants to work with what you got, then he will, and you'll get your healing. Or whatever it will be. But see, this applies to anything in life. You know, your ministry calling. I mean, it doesn't matter. Anything in life that is, say, a promise, a blessing, a condition, or whatever for a believer, for a person in the kingdom, the Word of God will develop that image on the inside. And now faith has something to bring to pass. And here's the thing. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you realize that one verse? That is an all-inclusive, it's going to happen, there's nothing you can do to stop it from happening verse. Because if you do what it's describing, you're going to get the results. Now, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. That lets me know, even more, I can't blame God. If he's put it in his Word, he wants me to have it. Therefore, it's me. I'm the one that's got to do my part. I'm going to get the results. Praise God. Well, go ahead and stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, my prayers, part of my prayers here now that we would be very sensitive to the people we listen to. And I know, Father, most of the folks here are. But there's still a lot of people out there, Father, they're just eating everywhere. And it's not good. So help us to be diligent about only feeding at the tables where you want us to feed. Now, Father, I want to thank you for your word tonight. It's been encouraging and also challenging. But may we become what it has described. And Father, just work in us to prepare us for this coming Sunday, what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, that we would be open to receive your will. And all the folks that have been watching here tonight, Father, may your glory and peace fill their homes or offices, wherever they are, and your will be done in them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you have an offering tonight, go ahead and bring it up. And praise God.